Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm Conrad and I'm joined by Michael.
Michael, who is this Michael of which you speak? You are not my mother, therefore.
I had to get it in, I'm afraid, at some time. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
So we are going to talk about clubs and club promotion and how to encourage people into your club.
Ooh, we trailed this in a previous episode.
Yes, it's almost as if it's you know, an intended follow-up, possibly.
It's almost as if we recorded it 30 seconds after we recorded the last one.
You destroyed the magic again.
The magic circle is never going to let me in, are they?
No. The magic square might, though.
The cube.
But not many people know about that organisation.
What, the magic square?
Yeah. Anyway, club promotion.
Yes.
When I started Tane Lawn back in the day, it was actually December 2000.
I helped you with the website.
Yes, you probably did. In fact, you did. One of the biggest issues I had, and it's still an ongoing issue. I don't see that so much with some of the clubs that you're involved with, Mike, is that, and you would think that this would not be the case in London, you know, the capital of the country, of England as such, is that encouraging members, you know, attracting new members, then having an environment where they can get on and play and they feel comfortable and, you know, the committee's approachable. When the club started, everything was done through word of mouth. I was in the fortunate position of having a rather large database of people's names from being involved with the WPS. And I looked through people's addresses in terms of anyone that lived locally to me and approached them to say, look, I'm thinking of starting a club up. Would you be interested in coming along? And that's essentially, after people said yes, that's how the club started. You know, the first session was essentially a lot of mates or people that I'd met along the way during the WPS days. But that was all okay at the start. Since then, you know, the ongoing problem with the club has been membership, because if you don't have enough members coming to the club, you can't pay your weekly hall costs. And the club starts making a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that we do is we try and attend Salute just so that there's a presence there. We used to go to Selwig as well. Last year we took a break. We didn't go to either. but again, you know, just a club stand there with some participation games or demonstration games and leaflets, people wearing the shirts, you know, the club shirts. We've got a couple of those sort of pull-out banners as well. But generally sort of saying hello and making our presence known. The other thing is that we're involved in is the Gaming Club Network. We are on the Gaming Club Network as a GCN club, which in this day and age of the internet is essentially a directory of clubs. So, you know, if you're a new player and you're looking for a club to go to, yep, then the obvious thing to do is to go to the internet. And being a part of any of these sort of directory type listings, as it were, is a great thing, because it means that when people are searching, obviously your club's going to come up.
Yeah.
Because there are other directory services as well out there. I can't remember. I remember being contacted. Was it the gaming?
I don't remember, to be honest.
But yeah, I mean,
We used to get them for WPS things, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there was a list of clubs that were essentially WPS supporters as such. And the old forums, and now TWF, as it's called, the Warhammer forums,
yeah,
you know, has a section for club promotion as such. So, you know, you can put a post up there saying, this is the club, this is where we're based, this is the sort of games that we're interested in. And it, active promotion for your club is key to ensuring the fact that the club stays financially viable as such. So it is important. Apart from that,
do you allow non-members?
Absolutely, yeah. We have a separate member and non-member table fee rate.
Right.
And the first game is free, you know.
Okay.
Also, you know, it's not the number of games that you play on a session, it's whether you play at all on that day. So you may end up having two or three games or just one big game, you know. But the table fees are the same. But we do, the disparity between the membership from a club member and a non-member is such that paying your membership is attractive as such, you know.
Right. So that's interesting because, I mean, the two clubs that I go to, Aftermath is the biggest club in Norwich. And if you search Wargaming in Norwich, then Aftermath turns up all the time. And especially in this age of, Twitter, etc. If you have a quick hunt around, then you'll get directed to Aftermath. Old Buckingham is a much smaller club and still brings in members, I suppose, the more traditional way, putting adverts in local free press and
we've not done that. That's like a good idea, actually. That's something that we should try.
Yeah, because I mean, even though traditional press is dying, you know, there's still all those a massive amount of free magazines and things that get, so you know, the what's on in so and so.
Yep.
And we put an ad in there, and that's where a lot of the kids effectively came from, because we did some stuff with the local high schools where we approached the teachers and said, would you mind if we put this up? And teachers being teachers, you know, they want to make sure that what they're promoting is a safe environment for the children. And so we're all CRB checked. So, you know, you can say that and you can show them your CRB certificates and things. And then they go, okay, yeah. Then that's fine. And we got quite a lot of members in that way.
Yep.
Now, you have an age policy on Tainlawn, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we've got a 16 years age policy.
So how, I suppose the question I have is, and this didn't really occur when I was 16 or 17 because I didn't know about games clubs. It was just me and my mates. But how do you get those younger kids to come to a club? I mean, because you're sort of committing their parents as well with transport and stuff. And their parents, I suppose, have to be comfortable with the fact there's a whole load of sweaty, beardy men walking around. I mean, let's face it. There are connotations to a games club. You go into a games club, it's full of middle-aged men, often serious bellies going on, often serious beards going
obviously,
on.
Often serious builder's cleavage cracks,
yes,
going on.
Yep, yep, yep. trousers that don't fit. And you're expecting them to drop little Johnny off. Whereas if they go to the Games Workshop store, the Games Workshop store, for all their faults, Games Workshop have done an amazing job of making their stores inviting to 14-year-olds.
Yep.
And more importantly, making parents comfortable with leaving their 14-year-old there.
I think it's something that we have not revisited as a club for a good couple of years. We had three or four younger gamers, and when I say younger, they were 13, 14 sort of thing, you know, at the club. And eventually they seemed to have disappeared, as it were, whether it's down to the environment or they weren't getting a game or they've lost interest or, you know, or exams are there or whatever.
Girls.
Or girls, yeah. we don't have any younger members, i.e. 16 to 18 at present. And we've done nothing about going after trying to attract those gamers to the club. And I think that's been a subconscious decision, also potentially a conscious decision to try and have a more mature gamer there, you know, someone.
Do you think it's an escape? Is it? Are you building an atmosphere that's an escape from, you know, your own children? Not necessarily your children, but, you know, the members' own children.
I think the people that go there, especially the older members of the club, are there to play games and not to be parents as such or childminders or whatever. I can't obviously speak for them, you know, without going away and talking to them, but I get that impression. With the younger guys, God, I sound old.
You are.
I think it's a case of, I don't know if the situation presented to them, you know, we had a spate of younger gamers in there. I'm not sure how they would cope. And it would be interesting. I'm sure, you know, they would get on, but there is always the sort of the whole maturity sort of thing. And we, when we did have the younger gamers there, we tried to integrate them in terms of, you know, playing against them, giving them advice, but there is a certain amount of maturity that's not there with the younger gamer, you know. Stupid things like picking models up, picking rule books up, things like that. You know, at the best of times, when an adult does that, that's kind of irritating. That's without asking permission, you know. So I don't know, you know, if there's an element of just being in an environment where we just want to play some games and escape from home life as such.
Right, yeah, but I mean the worry that I have, and why I'm happy the way that Old Buckingham has gone, and maybe I don't know, maybe Old Buckingham works as a feeder club for other clubs. You know, it brings the young people in, they nurture, then they that sort of grow out wrong, of that environment.
Way.
Sorry,
that all sounds wrong, by the way, on a darker level.
Only with your sick minds. We're not talking grooming here.
I totally understand. I totally agree with you. And I think there has been definitely occasions in the last sort of 14 years of the club's existence where we've done that. And whether it's a phase that the club's going through in terms of the members that are there playing games, and that we haven't just attracted that older age, that younger age, back to the club. But certainly, you know, we've had kids in the past, we've had brothers and their friends come along, we've had kids who've gone off to university and then come back again, you know, to the club.
Have you had parents bring their kids?
We've really only one or two that's happened to.
Right, because that's one of the, I mean, that's another thing that happens at Old Buckingham, is that a couple of the older members, older than me, bring their, you know, their teenage and university age sons come along and play as well. You know, it's one of those dad son bonding things.
I bought mine to the club a couple of times, but then they just got bored.
Wasn't hip enough for them.
No, absolutely.
I've taken Rebecca a few times, but being girls, it's different.
Yes, there's a completely different dynamic there as well.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
Well, we've gone from club promotion to the younger members sort of thing, but
I think the younger members are club promotion, aren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think. I mean, they're certainly, you know, feeding people in is the lifeblood of the club, and you know, weaning people off Games Workshop, the Games Workshop hobby, into the wider world of wargaming, is the lifeblood of the bloody industry.
And also the club as well, you know, having the ability to be able to play different game systems. One of the things we do is we have a number of we have extended days every month where we have a longer club day, basically.
Yeah.
And last year what we did was we had a day for Epic, had a day for Godslayer, had a day for 40K, had a day, you know, we essentially you could bring your stuff along or somebody would provide figures for you and you could have an intro game as such, you know, or you could get the experience of what the game was like.
No, that's a very cool idea. I mean, I think it's one of the things that the way that the American gaming scene organizes itself versus the way that the UK gaming scene is organized actually benefits from the American scene, because obviously they're far more organized around stores.
Yep.
And playing in stores, and obviously stores stock a massive range of different games. And so if you go in to buy your Games Workshop figures, you're just naturally exposed to all these other figures.
Yep.
And all these other games going on. Whereas here in the UK, you go to buy your Games Workshop figures. Where are you buying them from? If you're buying them from a store with your parents when you're out shopping on a Saturday afternoon, you're buying them in the Games Workshop store. And you don't see the little independent store that's two streets around the corner.
No, absolutely. I think that aspect of the hobby hasn't changed, I don't think. The fact that GW stores are there, you know, they've diminished in high street presence as such. The internet, and there are a number of magazines out there and websites out there where you can, you know, you can happen upon wargaming websites I'm talking about, you can happen upon and it might take your fancy sort of thing. But that's in generations gone by, it was, you know, War Games Illustrated, War Games Journal or whatever, and looking for that magazine, flicking through stuff, learning about other game systems there. And I think the other thing is, with the number of games that are out there at the moment, the likelihood of people playing things other than GW is a lot higher than it was before. So when you come into a club, you know, you will see non-GW stuff being played at the club more than not.
Yeah, but you see, I think this is something for us to discuss another day, I think. And I really mean another day, not in 10 seconds when we start another episode. So we're out of time again. We've waffled long. Why do we always waffle long?
Because we meander.
That's very true. Right, so until next time.
I've been Conrad.
And I've been Mike.
Bye-bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.